Let's go to Ecclesiastics. I know this it's a book everyone reads every day here, but we're only going to go to 12:13, chapter 12, verse 13, in Ecclesiastics. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics.
I know Ecclesiastes.
12. And then I'm going to get there. Once you get to 12, we'll go to 13. Good. That's good. Glory. Let me do this way here. Okay. Everybody there? We're good? All right. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Right? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Right? Pretty simple. It's the whole duty of man is contained in one verse. So we're going to look at what is it to fear God, all right? Because sometimes you hear that a lot, you know, the fear of the Lord and all this things like that. And to get clarity on what that means to us, how to fear the Lord, see examples of Jesus Christ, him fearing the Lord, what a righteous man fears the Lord, and the benefits of fearing the Lord. So what it means. I have the Amplified version of that. It has a little more clarity. It says, when all has been heard, the end of the matter is, fear God, worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God, and keep his commandments, for this applies to every person. That's a bigger perspective, because that's what the fear of the Lord is reverence, respect, honor, and awe for God. That's what it means in that light. Now, the negative is the fear from the devil and all that stuff, but we're not. It's nothing that we're not fearing God to shun away from him, right? So that's not the fear we're talking about. So let's turn to Psalm 33, verse 4. See, it's really recognizing God for who he is. And then honoring him, and we'll see how we honor God. Because a lot of people say, oh, yeah, there's a God and all this, things like that. But, you know, who is he? What did he do? Who is he now? What is he doing? And how do we honor him? Keep everything in perspective. So Psalm 33, verse 4 says, look at that. Stand in awe and sin not. Is that the right one?
No.
That's a good word. That's a good one, too, though. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Stand. Okay, but that's good, though. It's going to be 33. That was 4:3. That's one wrong. No, I was in Psalm 4, verse 3. That's a good verse, though. You could mark it. There we go. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now we're going to see his immensity, his power. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, how? By the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. See, you recognize who he is, what he's done, and really let that sink in. You could look outside. I was looking, like yesterday was great. We're driving, the sun was out, and had these cloud formations. Nothing was moving. It looked like a painting, you know. Just like, and you sit back, and you're like, wow, you know. And then the sun, the moon, and stars. So it just takes time to suck in and process what God has done, right? Now look at verse 9. So, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. So that shows you his power, his majesty, who he is. And he's still that way, right? He didn't retire, right? Even we can retire. But so I'm going to show, here's a good example of someone who had great reverence and honor for God, David, right? Man after God's own heart. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 29. How I always remembered these the order of these, it was always in reverse order of alphabet. You know, Samuel, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. You know, that's just how my mind went, I guess. So 29:10. Oh, there it is. Okay. There we go. Wrong page. All right. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation and said, now listen, as we read this, just think of his heart. And Beth prayed that we have humility of mind and heart, right? So this is where you're going to see David recognizing God for who he is and honoring him. And it says, wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, bless the Lord. Bless thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, look, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now, if you say that out of the bottom of your heart, you got to be, it'll send chills up your spine, right? But really, that's where we get it to, get it in our heart, recognizing who God is. And then we give him glory and honor by thanking, thanks, and praising thanksgiving. That's why I always see in the New Testament, give thanks in all things, give thanks, right? But you don't give thanks until you know what you're giving thanks for. So that's what, if you read the rest of the epistles, you see what God's done for us and who we are in Christ and all that. It's a natural flow is your thanksgiving. Because you can't just jump in and say, oh, I'm going to give thanks, thanks. You don't know what you're giving thanks for. David recognized who God was and then he gave thanks for him. Right? Pretty neat. Let's look at Psalm, while we're there, Psalm 138, we're close. Verse 1, very familiar verse. Everybody knows this verse, but we'll read it in this context. Of the fear of the Lord, reverence and respect and honor of the Lord. So 138, verse 1, it says, this is David, Psalm of David, I will praise thee with my whole heart. See? Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So God, he recognized God through his word. And God magnified his, magnify means to make great. Right? You get a magnifying glass, right? You see a little bug. If you see a bug, like an ant, it's only like real small, and then you put one on it, it can grow real big, right? You blow it up. So it makes it great in your mind. That's what we need to do, make God big in our minds and our hearts. Keep them big. It's, you know, it's getting them there and keeping them there, right? So I will worship toward thy holy. So he's praising God and with his whole heart. Like, it's all in. It's not like plan B, plan C, you know. Because really, you can get tricked out of that. And I'll show you how. Because what you compromise to keep, you can lose, right? That's the old saying. Look at Psalm 69. Well, we're in Psalm. Psalm 69, verse 30. It's another good one here. It's David again, so here's this part of his heart here. I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. So we magnify God, make him great with our thanksgiving, our heartfelt thanksgiving. Everything's from the heart, right? We do everything from the heart. That's where the reverence of God comes from, our heart. It's not something we have to do. Right. So you're something that you're just, it flows out of you because you know who God is, what he's done for you, and so forth. While we're in Psalms 34:1. Still Psalm of David, right? 1-3, verse 1-3, Psalm 34. It says, I will, see, it's an act of the will, bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name forever together. So he's magnifying by boasting about it, by praising God. And he says at all times. Because what you do continually, it's sort of a habit, and then it builds God in your heart and your life. And then same thing on the negative side. We continually see what the news says and talk about the news and this and that. We're building fear, and we're building the other kind of fear in our life, not the reverential fear. See, this is the reverential fear when you praise. It's a whole big difference there. Let's turn to turn the sheet here. You know, we have 18 more sheets to go. We'll be done. No, this is Jesus Christ. Okay. Jesus Christ walked in fear of the Lord. So we can see he walked in fear. He wasn't terrified by what people thought, the circumstances, situations, because he worked in that reverence and honor of God. So look at Isaiah 11. Look at this prophecy about him. This is pretty neat. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Talk about the great example of walking in reverence and honor to his father, right? 11:1. Okay, here's a prophecy. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. So it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming, right? Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Right? The reverence of the Lord. And shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove or judge after the hearing of his ears. He's going to walk by the Spirit of God that's upon him, like it says here. And that's the reverential fear, that you're just focusing on what God's telling you and nothing else. You know, like it says in Psalm 4:20, it says, my son, attend to my word, right? Incline thy ear unto my saying, right? Pay attendance. His word's first place in your life. First place, final authority of your decisions. See, that's how we keep it when we reverence God's word. Otherwise, we're going to be swayed by the circumstances, situations. Look at John 5:19. So here's just some examples of Jesus Christ relying on his Father. 5:19. Now, it said back there he would do it, so let's see. Did he do it? Yeah, here it is. 5:19. Says, then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Sounds like what David was saying, all things come of thee, you know, similar. But what he see the Father do, for that whatsoever he doth, also doth the Son likewise. He's following what the Father tells him, what the Father shows him. See, that's reverential honor and respect. Because if the Father tells him something, and he knows the Father is greater than I, and you say, nah, that's despising the Lord, basically. You say, oh, yeah, I hear you, but, you know, I got it better than you. So you got to think of that when we hear the word. Look at verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, for as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. Part of that is seeking, and we're going to see some of that, how you walk in the fear of the Lord, is seeking the will of God. You know, then you become you know, you see the honor, you receive the honor of God, you see what he's done, what he is doing, and then it comes on, like you get that reverence for him, the honor, and you have reverential awe, sometimes they call it, right? Look at John 17 over there, 4. And here is at the end of his life on earth here. Not the end of his life totally, but look at verse 1. We'll start there. So John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify you. And glorify is still, it's like magnify and honor. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should have give eternal life to as many as thou hast given. And this is eternal life, that they may know that thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which thou gave me. So he glorified God on earth. How did he do it? By obeying him, right? Fear and obedience, respect and obedience to God. That's how he glorified him. He walked by it. He did miracles by that glorified God because he was walking according to the will of God and the word of God. And it wasn't glory to himself, which is a temptation, right? Could be a very good temptation. So look at Psalm 112. This is a picture of like a righteous man, right? And some of the benefits of fearing the Lord, you'll see. Okay, Psalm 112, we'll start at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that what? Feareth, reverences, honors the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. See, they all go together. When you honor God, respect God, you respect his word. You delight in his word, right? His seed, now here's like the results of this. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Hold your finger there. We're coming back to that. Look at Proverbs 22:4. What it says about humility and fear of the Lord. But we're coming back to that 1:12. So 22:4. It says, by humility and the fear, reverence, respect, honor of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You see the guy in 112, Psalm 112, he had that fear of the Lord and sees wealth and riches would be in his house. Let's go back to 112. So wealth and riches shall be in his house because he had fear of the Lord. He had humility and honor. Look at verse 4. Unto the upright ariseth light and darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Now here's a key verse here. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So one of the outcomes of fearing and respecting God is trusting him. Right, another aspect of that. And then it has the last verse. He shall not be, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemy. So he has an established heart on the word. No fear, because it says Psalm 29, 25, right? The fear of man bringeth the snare, but who trusteth in the Lord shall be what? Safe. So see the difference here. When you trust, he's trusting in the Lord. He's not afraid of evil tidings. But if he start trusting in other things, that's where the fear of man, like what will man say or what will man think about me? Like Jesus Christ, when he walked, I'm not reading this, but I'll give you the quick synopsis, right? The cliff notes. So when he was talking about, remember Lazarus died, was dying, right? Going to die. So they came to him and they said, hey, Lazarus died, you know, come get him. And he stayed 2 days, right? Stayed 2 days. So he's walking by the Spirit of the Lord, right? So you could think, what would all these people think? Now, look at all these people, what they said. They said, he's dying. Okay, then somebody said, he's dead. He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. Why didn't you come? Mary says it. Martha says it. And then the townspeople said, well, couldn't he have done this? You know, all this stuff like that. So look at all the circumstances that could get him to get him off the word of God. Like, well, maybe I'd go to buy his 5 senses. And then even when it came to the end to raise him, and they said, well, you can't raise him now. He's dead 4 days. He stinketh, you know, like. And then Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I'm praying this loud because I know thou hast heard me and you always hear me. Key point, he was always walking by the Spirit of God. He wasn't moved by the circumstances. That's a good lesson for us, like, stay fixed on the Word. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, right? Covered up pretty quick, right? Listen, bear. How to work on, look at Proverbs 2:1. How to walk in the fear of the Lord. There's some of the how. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Let me get better. It says, my son, if thou will receive my words, takes humility, right? Receive with meekness the engrafted words, they will save your soul. Hide my commandments with thee. Hide the word in thy heart, right? So I'm not, right? Not sin against it. Think of all the other verses around that. So, why? So thou, you incline your ear to wisdom. You got to receive the word and then listen what it's telling you, right? And apply that heart to understanding. So you were in desire. God, what is this about? Tell me, show me. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as a hid treasure. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, the reverence, honor, respect of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. See, it's receiving that word about God, what he says, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and we just meditate on, like it says a lot of times, if you meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, thy profiting may appear to all, right? And then you understand how to the reverence of God. Wow, it just flow out of you. It's like an outcome of doing that. While we're in Proverbs, go to chapter 3, Proverbs 3. See, when you honor someone, you honor what they say, and you believe what they say, right? I mean, if for example, Kip the plumber over there, and I go to him for plumbing advice, and I say, hey, I have this problem. He says, here's how you fix it. I said, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Right? I mean, like, that's dishonoring them. Remember, honor builds, dishonor tears down. Honor builds up, right? When you honor somebody, you esteem them highly, you value them. So we value God according to his word. So we can tell, you need to know the word first to see what the value is. Just like God gave his only begotten son for us, what is our value that he thinks of us? His only begotten son, right? It's like freely given. So when we get all that in our heart, we just naturally, it's a natural outflow to honor God, reverence God, and keep him in your heart. And it will keep you from evil. While we're on that, I'll just read this. You don't have to turn there. In Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. And Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. See, it keeps you from going that way. See, when you honor God, that other stuff is not even, you know, you're not compromising. You're just sticking on the word. It keeps you from evil situations. That's why, if anything, like, stay away from all appearance of evil, right? Things like that. So Proverbs 3. Sorry about that. We deviate a little here. But 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord. So we trust God. If we honor him, we receive his word, like it said, and we apply our heart to understanding, and then trust him with all your heart and don't lean to your understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways. That's why I keep his word first and last in your life. First decision, final decision. You know, you may get a doctor's report, you may get somebody else's report. The economy's going crazy. What does God say? And it has to be that clear that it's not like a waiver. Well, I guess I'll try to believe, you know. So we build it in our hearts so we just know that, okay, God, you said it. I believe it. That's it. And it says, verse 7, be not wise, see wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. We just saw that. You know, if you honor the Lord, you're going to listen to what he says. You're not going to lean on your understanding. You're going to acknowledge him, his word. What does his word say? And you won't. Evil is actually not believing God, right? The evil heart of unbelief. Then look at the problem. Look at the outcome here. Result. It shall be. What shall be? If you honor God, listen to him, acknowledge him, it shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Right? Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord how? With thy substance, with the first fruits of thy increase. So, result, thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and the precious shall burst out with new wine. And look, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That means you're not believing him. Like, I don't want to hear that. You know, even though, because God's word is for doctrine, reproof, correction, right? We're going to be chastised. We're going to be corrected. So we should welcome the correction because it's going to get us back onto the right path, right? Because we're all going to drift. But honor the Lord with thy substance. That's an outward manifestation of honor in your heart. So when you give, like abundant sharing or whatever you're doing, like says the first fruits, but from your heart. And you expect God to bless you back. There's nothing, sometimes we don't expect that sometimes. Or maybe we don't verbalize it. You just thank God for supplying all your need. For all grace abounding toward you, has sufficiency in all things, you abound in every good work. Because he say, you do this, I'm going to do that. And we just take him at his word, right? That's all it is. All right, so we'll get off of that. We're on the last little piece here. So let's. What about us here? What does it say in the New Testament here? But first, let's go to Matthew 5:14. We saw that Jesus Christ glorified God. We saw that David glorified God. He magnified him. And what does it say about us here? John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So I'm looking at Matthew 5:14. Okay. Now this is like the Sermon on the Mount or Beatitudes. And so he's saying here, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put light under a candle. Men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Look at verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, people don't see God. He sees it through the body of Christ, through us. And if the light is burning in us, the word of God is hot in us, the spirit of God is hot, people are going to see that. You're going to see the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. And then they're going to glorify God, right? And magnify means, again, make great. Look at Philippians. We're going to close here, Philippians chapter 2. So how do we do all this? We've got to put his word in our mind, right? And here's a good section here that ties it all together. So Philippians chapter 2. I want you to look at first, before we go to verse 5, look at verse 13. Or verse 12, I'm sorry. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, humility is followed by obedience, right? You know, not my presence only, but much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's the word again. So work out means to bring to a result. Now, your own salvation. Now, your deliverance, remember, we're already saved, so we're not delivered from death here. It's talking about within this life, right? You have issues, opportunities, so you get delivered from them. You know, it could be mental, physical, spiritual, financial, whatever. But you work it out. Bring about the result how? With fear and trembling, with respect, reverence, and obedience. See, and to have reverence and obedience, we receive the word with meekness. And then, for it is God, see, with worketh in you, to will and to do his good pleasure. So now the context, let's read from chapter 2, verse 5. So it's saying, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? So this is part of it. How did Jesus Christ live? Well, he honored his Father. He walked in reverence and obedience to his Father, right? So it says now, then it goes on, verse 6. Who, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And here it is. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, see, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So he humbled himself to the word of God. He honored God. He glorified God. He goes, my work here is finished, and I glorified you. And now look what God does. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, to the magnification of the Father. When we confess him as Lord, it magnifies God because of what he did in the Son. Now, he glorified him. Remember, I think it says in Isaiah, one of those books, God honors those who honor him, right? Paraphrase, right? So now, with that in mind, then verse 12. Wherefore, see, on account of this, wherefore says, okay, based on the stuff we said, we read previously, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, bring to a completion your own deliverance. Salvation is deliverance, safety, protection, it's a sozo, with fear, with respect, and obedience. Why? For as God worketh in you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. And then it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's despising what God's telling you. He's telling you, hey, do this. So you walk by that spirit inside. You just know things that's right to do, and then you just follow it. And then look at verse 9. Now, when you do all things without murmurings and disputings, and you let God work in you, and you listen to him, why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, see, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom you what? Shine. So that's the whole goal here, us to shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. Why? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, we shine by holding forth the word of Christ in our lives. We're living epistles, known and read of all men, right? So as we let the word of God dwell in us by having that fear, respect, and obedience and honor for our Father God, for what he's done, and the Lord Jesus Christ, that will naturally be our inclination to do that. We will desire to do that. It's not a law. Don't get in. So we get on the law. I got to do this. Got to do that. Got to not lie. No. Lie, when it says put away lying, it's lying about who you were. It's about who you are. That's the lie. The lie. Not just like telling a little white lie. You know, it's like, who are you in Christ? That's the lie to put away. That with the old man. Like, yeah, you're no good. You're not worthy. You know, all that stuff. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we just walk with that honor and respect for the both. Amen.